you who emanate from the heart of the Savior of the Hundred Davis Joyful Realm, on the peak of a cloud water holder resembling clumps of extremely fresh white curd, the King of Dharma, Omniscient Losang Drapa, with your sons, I request you to come to this place. In the sky before me, on a lion throne, lotus and moon disc, the perfect pure Lama smiles with delight. Supreme field of the merit of mind's devotion, I beg you to abide for 100 eons to increase the teachings. Your holy mind understands the full extent of objects to be known. Your eloquent speech is the ear ornament of the fortunate ones. Your holy body is glowing and glorious with fame. To you who is meaningful to see, hear, and remember, I prostrate. Beautiful drinking water, various range flowers, fragrant incense, light, scented water, and so forth, actually performed and mentally transformed oceans of clouds of offerings, I offer to you the supreme field of merit. Whatever non-virtues of body, speech, and mind, and especially actions opposite to the three vows that I have created from beginningless time, from the bottom of my heart, I regret and fervently confess them all individually. In this time of the five degenerations, you sow for many listenings and realizations and may meaningful but perfect human rebirth. By renouncing the 8 worldly concerns and the Savior's extensive deeds, I rejoice sincerely from the depths of my heart. Please, holy, perfect, pure gurus, from billow clouds of compassion and wisdom in the sky of Dharmakaya, make rainfalls of profound and extensive teachings of whatever is suitable for the ears of sentient beings or the objects to be subdued. I dedicate whatever virtues I have ever collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Losang Drapa to shine forever. Then, if you'll turn to page 13 in the booklet, you see it says 5-line prayer to Lama Tsongkhapa. So we'll say 20 of the prayers to ourselves, and then we'll chant the 21st one together. Dedication. and all my lives to the victorious one Lama Tsongkhapa as the impersonator of the Mahayana Guru, may I never turn aside for even an instant from the excellent path praised by the victorious one. And now if you'll take out the gold book and turn to page 97. So on the bottom it says short mandal offering, so let's chant that. No, I think we're doing this in English. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorns Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I manage this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure. Oh, I'm sorry. I think we do chant it in
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we'll do. We're supposed to turn the wheel of Dharma and. Should we start from the beginning?
No, it doesn't matter.
It's in English?
Doesn't matter. English doesn't matter.
Jetsun Lama Champa Jenam Ti. Guru Ratha Mandala Samnirya Tayami.
Sandhya
Jangam La Chanchu Badu Dhani Kapsuchi Dhaji Chanyanji Pesha Namdi Yola Pesha Sangye Tupasho. Sanje,
Good evening. So, before start the class, one round of mani mantra, and dedicated all the people who are, you know, lives have been devastated by this earthquake, the recent earthquake in Nepal. Because, you know, I think here we are karmically connected to that part of the land, because our spiritual director, Lama Zerpa Rinpoche, was born there in Nepal. I have family there. I have a number of family there. Jamtel, who built the stupa, that he has family there. So the sherab who helped, you know, a long time ago to translate my teachings has also family there. So so right now, you know, not just my family, you know, everybody lost probably now 4 days. Everybody become homeless. There's no home to go because they are still scared going back to their home, because a lot of building and some of, a lot of them fall down, and some of the building they have the crack in the wall. So anyway, so and we'll dedicate that, you know, one round of mani mantra for people in that part of the world. So a lot of people, you know, lost their life. And not just that. So, throughout the world, there are so many, you know, sufferings. You know? suffering, people are not getting along with each other, you know, suffering, not able to sleep, suffering, you know, so much suffering in the mind, you know, so like, just think about all the mental hospitals, you know, in this country and you know, other countries, you know, some of the countries, they don't have much resource. Age range, you know, so there's also mental hospital for the children, you know, so children's home. So when you think about them, you know, it's like heartbreaking, but practically there's nothing much that you can do. So what we can do, we can just say prayers, you know? We just say prayers, you know. So after the one round of Mani Mantra, then we'll do Tonglen practice, or Tonglen practice. So we'll chant Tonglen practice. So the purpose of chanting it, then that gives you more time to reflect on the meaning, okay? So most of you know Tonglen, that's a form of practice in Buddhism that you do mainly to benefit your mind. Then somehow, because everybody is connected, not just connected, deeply connected. We may know how we are connected, but we are deeply connected, not just one time. We are connected many times. We are all connected. Oh. So because of that, then praying for each other, somehow it helps. No, I don't know how, but it does help. Oh. See? So now this form of Tonglen practice is a form of practice that you do, particularly people know when you get sick. So then, you know, this practice, there's many, many histories. Doing that practice sincerely, genuinely, and sometimes people do heal from their disease. There's number of cases been recorded, different parts of the world. So now this Tonglen, Tong, sending, you know, giving, send. How you send, how you give? From a Buddhist point of view, you give not out of fear, not out of obligations. You give out of loving kindness. That's how you give. You give out of loving kindness. Huh? That's called tong. Hmm? Tong, the Tibetan word tong means send. You know, sending out of loving kindness. What is the definition of love in Buddhism? What's loving kindness? Definition of loving kindness. So someone, you know, someone. I say someone, if somebody is struggling to achieve, you know, something in order to be happy, to achieve something. So then you contribute, whatever that might be, you contributed. So that's the definition of love. Compassion, somebody is struggling to overcome from some kind of obstacles. Just to be happy, or just to be content, just to feel good. So then you contribute to that, you know, that whatever that might be, you know, so helps to overcome, not necessarily to achieve, reach, to get something, but overcome. So that's compassion. That's compassion. Whenever we encounter, we hear, we see, so some kind of, you know, people do going through difficulties. So then, you know. Whatever way, if you can help, then that's the best, you know, that's the best. If not, so then you can sleep prayer, oh? That's called Tonglen practice, okay? Oh? So, Len, so then taking. Not only you, you know, the taking part is a little bit difficult, you know, very difficult, because, you know, so much is going on in our own life, so much is going on, sometimes people may feel overwhelmed, taking more difficulties. Sometimes other people misunderstood. Taking is like not taking on yourself, then taking on the self-grasping mind. No? That's the one to blame. Self-grasping mind. The mind that grabs on the self. That self does not exist. No? That self does not exist. That self is highly projected, not exist. So there's what you call fundamental confusions. No? So that's the one causing all this kind of complications in our life. No? Been very strongly backed by self-centered mind, self-chasing mind. Oh? Everything about me, everything, there's nothing for others. Everything is about me. No? So the minute we wake up, so everything is about you. There's nothing for others. No? So the self-grasping mind, that's called fundamental conditions. The very self that mind is grasping, that self is not there. It's not there, you know. It's just, you know, grabbing on the wrong self. So then not just that, then you know, projecting, so much projecting, then you know, exaggerating, you know, so then it's all the complications that, you know, because of that, not because of neighbors, because of friends, because of the government, because of the community, no. That's what we think. But that's not why all these complications arise. So the self-grasping mind, so therefore, thinking about emptiness, oh, in the end, everything's level, you know, everything's just level. I was also level, you know, I'm not born as a Gishi Gelek, you know. So Gishi just like very, very late part of my life, you know. When I finished all my education in the monastery, then they called me Gishi. So before that, 20 years in the monastery, I'm not Gishi, I'm just a monk. Oh? So then I was called Gishi, you know. So way before that, I was just a child. And I was, you know, called Gelek. You know, somebody decided to name me Gelek. So then that's how I become Gelek. So then that on that level, you know, it's not inherent, absolute, it's just level. It's just level. So there's so many projections we put on that level, and there's so much, you know, exaggerated. Oh, he's such a very, he's very, very mean person. Gelek, very, very mean person. Some people say, oh, he's very naughty. He's totally crazy. You know, oh, he's so charming, wonderful, oh, like, you know, all kind of projection put in there. So then you caught up with the projection, then you exaggerate it. So then it goes round and round and round and round, and it never ends, you know. In the end, everything's illusions. It's just, you know, like dream. So see, there's the benefit of, you know, like the benefit of thinking about emptiness. There's a benefit. Then there you are trying to prove the very mind, they're grabbing on the self. You are proving you are fundamentally confused. You are confused, you know. So you put. So that's like the cutting the root of all the complications. That's how people, when people meditate on emptiness, so you know, that's how they liberate it, because you know they prove the fundamental condition is wrong. It's wrong. It's not right. So then eventually, then you start thinking about what is self. What is self? You know? How you define self? Things. So then all these, you know, complications eventually cease. So see, that's the one to blame. Self-grasping mind is the one to blame, not you. If you think, okay, I'm insufferable with the self-grasping mind, no hope. Why you meditate? Why you say a mantra? Why you do good things? No hope. But the self-grasping mind is not you. No, there's a lot of people think, oh, that's me, but that's not true. Whom to blame? Not the government, not the country, not the people, not the communities. Self-grasping mind, that's the one to be blamed. So anyway, so the reason I'm just not going back to the point, so then the taking part, when you take all these miserable conditions, not out of fear, out of compassion. That's the strength. The compassion is the strength. It's not a sign of weakness. It's the strength, you know? That's the strength. Compassion, you know? Compassion is strength. So out of compassion, you know, out of compassion, then you take other people's pile on their self-grasping mind. imagine the self-grasping mind disappear. So then, if some of you are having problems doing taking part, so you can taking part, you can do on yourself. Upcoming difficulties, maybe an upcoming difficulty, you can take now and like that, you know. Lembe Korim, run at them. Lembe Korim is sequence of taking part can be started from your side. Upcoming suffering, then you just imagine taking that now. They just know how it's been done. If someone out there having if some of us having difficulties of taking part, that's how the taking part has been done, you know, based on yourself. So this slowly, slowly. So this all, this loving kindness, compassion has to start from somewhere. So to the people who feel close one, relative, close friend, so we do it then slowly, slowly transform on the strangers, slowly, slowly to transform on the person we label as enemy. So then it's become, that's how it becomes universal. Universal, that's how the compassion become universal compassion. So slowly, slowly. not going to say much. So sorry to so recite the one round of money mantra. Then please think about at the moment. First, think about all the people in Nepal. So when I talk to them, you know, they say it's kind of dreams. And nobody ever thought the earth is going, their ground is going to shake. You know, see. Last 80 years, you know, between, I think they had earthquake 80 years ago. Between then and now, a lot of people were born. Those people have no clue, you know. There probably some, there may be some people, they may still remember that earthquake. But between then, you know, everybody, you know. So then I told them, they are shocked. They're like all, everybody's in shock. They're like dreaming, you know. All of a sudden, we never know. We never know, you know, we never know. Never know. So, see, they're sure that nobody thinks that all their ground's going to shake, you know. So all of a sudden, you know, everything's, you know. But, so anyway, so please remember them, you know, directly, then indirectly, please, as I mentioned before, all the people in our prayer list, all the people, you know. So when you talk to somebody that's having a hard time, not able to sleep, you know, not just all day after day, not able to sleep, it's like just really nothing you can do. It's kind of heartbreaking, you know, to hear talk to someone that can sleep. So just say a prayer, and that's all you can do. It's not just me having problems, just a lot of people, you know. So as I mentioned before, we look okay, we dress well, we smell good. If you take shower, you smell good. Doesn't mean you are good, no? See, so anyway, so if the praying for all, you know, living beings is very good, no? It's help, that's the best way to help yourself, okay? Is your own difficulties, no? So, so eventually it's good to learn this stanza before you recite Mani mantra. Likewise, Vajrasana mantra. So now a lot of you know stanza. So there's similar, not similar, but there's another stanza before you recite Mani mantra. So some of us chant maybe 21 times. Then the rest will say quietly. Then think about all the people who are going through difficulties. Okay. Well. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 mani padme hum. Om 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 mani
It's on page 110 in the Gold Book, the second verse.
Or, you know, you can just sit and meditate, just think about, you know, out of love, loving kindness, just send all the, you know, positive thought, your positive thought, that is prayer, you know, positive thought, all those affected by the earthquake, not just people, also, you know, animal too. You know, animal too. You know, there's a lot of animal too. Hmm? Not just people. Hmm?
Shalom.
Section that last Wednesday that I explained, what you call the mind, the mind at death.
Yes, mind at death.
Mind at death. Chisim is called chisim. Chisim means, you know, death. Same as mind. Mind at death. Mind at death. Mind.
Mind at death. Yeah.
Mind at death. Chisim. So that's finished. positive mind is important. Positive mind, no? Even the time of death, positive mind is important. Or while you're alive, the positive mind is important, you know. When you are facing difficulties, the positive mind is, mind means positive thinking. Positive thinking. The beginning is very important, in the middle is very important, in the end also very critical. No? Positive thinking. Positive thinking. Easy to say, but practically not that easy to do. Especially if someone's very cranky. So easy to say, but you know, that is the whole point. Whole point is thinking something good. Especially if you are, you know, facing some kind of problem, if we can think good. That's what I understand. End of our life, positive thinking, that's important, no? Also, therefore, we should not disturb the person who is dying. We should not disturb, no? So we need to encourage to think something positive, whatever ways we can help the person to think something good. Why that's important? That is like kind of like that. There's so many seeds. Seed is already there. There are so many seeds all there. So now it's only which seed to be, which ones to fertilize. Makes sense. Fertilize. Thinking something good. So whatever ways, doesn't have to be something very spiritual. That's what we people usually think, okay, needs to be something very spiritual. No, so that's not the only way. Whatever ways we can help that person to think something good, that's critical. If that person is very familiar with the practice, oh, then it's very beneficial if you mention, if you say some practice, then they benefit, oh? But if you are hospice, most important to not to disturb that person's mind, that's the most important thing, so not let that person to feel something bad, no, to contribute, to think something good. All kinds of ways. Oh, see. To reassure.
Oh, to reassure?
Reassure that person, okay? That's what's going to happen. Reassure. Doesn't matter what. Point is to generate something positive mind. That's very critical. Reassure. So today, so there's a couple of things we already discussed, you know. Like some external related to the body itself, there's a way to tell whether the person is dying or not dying. There's a couple of signs you can tell based on the heat. So then appearances, there's a number of ways. When the person passed away, there's a number of ways you can tell. So now here, Pardo. Did we read the Pardo? Intermediate state.
Mm-hmm.
Did we already read that?
We stopped there.
Pardo. Par between. Go intermediate state. Par between.
So we're on page 309 in the great treatise on the stages of the path. If you have the blue liberation in the palm of your hand, book, it's on page 478.
Many lamrimo. See, pardo, between birth and death, pardo. Is there any, here in the West, there's pardo or no?
Limbo? Oh, purgatory? No, it's limbo.
Limon?
Limbo.
Oh, I thought you said
no?
Limon.
Limbo is
canceled.
We don't have any
more. Yeah, so when you have...
Purgatory. Yeah, but purgatory is a purification.
Anyway... Oh, looks like there's something there, so I'm not sure. Anyway, so there's a part of it, like it's between, that's maximum life space, like 49 days. According to the text, that's what they say, 49 days, 7 weeks. So that's why memorial service in Buddhist countries goes on and on, like 7 weeks. It's not just one day go there, finish. It's not like that. Goes on and on. Like, then all the family, you know, get together, you know, so they, you know, light candles, they say prayers, you know. So then, after 1 year, that's called Lomche, means, you know, that's big offerings. Lomche, so there's a 1 year anniversary, something like that. So then sometimes people, they, you know, keep going. So, maybe it helps them. So that's probably not necessary. Keep going. Probably, you know, within 4 weeks, fast 4 weeks, more likely the consciousness will find rebirth. You know, 4 weeks. That's why out of 7 weeks, week 4 is critical. So they take that quite seriously. Week 4, they increase prayer, number of prayer they say, you know, offering, everything, they increase. You know, that. So then the 49th day, so that's one, that's also kind of important. In my hometown, so people take that very seriously. Then, you know, the whole village comes, you know, to say prayers, you know, so then 49 days, then you, like, do some kind of talk offering, then you divide the talk, every family get talks, you know, so then you go there, door to door, offer the talks, you know, so, and then people, what they do, they just get together, they say money mantra. They all say money, or money, with the money mantra, huh? So, pardon, you know, that's maximum life sentence, 49 days, 7 weeks. Second knowledge, you know, good to know, pardon the tulu. Not sure about that, not sure can you tell the show, tell me, pardon my cheva, sound of Tomeshindu. We see what the father said, Juni Lula, Chava, 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 Gaming a kind of living in the water in the center. Padua Mila saw the Omanam Samaja. No, it doesn't have like body like us, gross body, but it has a body, but it's like form of light, but doesn't have like the gross body. It possesses some kind of miracle power. Ombo Kunsa, Tome this. The minute you think, you're already there. It's not about distance, you know, you just think, you just there. It's a ombo kunsan. All the, as a ombo means like a faculty is there, but it's not like, you know, you can really touch. Ombo kunsan is the worst. So, chapter number 3, Vasubandhu's text, Treasury of Knowledge, Abhidharma Kosha, chapter number 3, that's where you find detailed explanation of Pardo. This old explanation is pretty much coming from that text, Abhidharma Kosha, chapter number 3. That book has 8 chapters. Chapter number 3, that talks about all different forms of life in desire realms, or different realms in desire realm, form realm, formless realm, size of the body, lifespan, all kinds of things that you find in the chapter number 3, you know? So the lifespan, so on, like that. So that's quoting Abhidharma Kosha, root text, Abhidharma Kosha. She Pado Ritimadan Gomalaji, Hemingway, Dora kind of Pado to take Washington, so today, just a point, I think every single word to read, every single word, that's going to be a little bit complicated. So, Ombokunta Tome De, or Nilodinet is our watch. So it's going to be, the form of the Pardo is going to be looks like the rebirth that Pardo is going to take. The Pardo is going to be looks like that form. Or some people say, oh, no, it's like, looks like human Pardo, it looks like human, and that's not true. But its Pardo is going to be looks like the upcoming rebirth. You know, whatever rebirth is kind of going to take, that's going to be looks like that. Or there's some debate. If you debate, there's a debate. Oh, yeah. Then, as I mentioned before, you know, life began between two drops, drops from father, drops from mother. That is what the body is, you know. It's hard to believe sometimes, you know. That is what we call now me, Gelek, is Gelek, you know. It used to be one egg. The basically two drops, you know. White. Sometimes they are called two buddhichitta, white buddhichitta, red buddhichitta. That's like it refers to two drops. That's how life began, you know. So the minute they get together, so the consciousness enters there, that's where the heart, not really physical heart, I'm not sure that. Do you have two types of heart? Not the heart, the one you see in the Valentine's Day, not that kind of heart. When you say center of your heart, make sense? Center of your heart. That means where you point. Center of your heart. Somewhere here. So that's not physical. Huh? It's physical. But maybe we don't know where the heart is. Huh? Even the medical people don't know where the heart is.
Yeah, yes.
Anyway, so we are not going to go there. No. we have here two doctors here, no? Dr. Robbie and Dr. Brown, the two doctors. So embarrassed to talk about in front of my doctors. So I don't know. Center, you visualize center of your heart, that's what I'm talking about, center of your heart. So that's not. So there the life, that's where life begins, according to Abhidharma Kosha, the treasure of knowledge, chapter number 3. That's how life begins. Like this. When life finishes, all the energy dissolves back to that, to drops. See? So then there's no like the. All the energy began from there, all the energy going to dissolve back to there. So then, you know, that's how the life is. The same life began again like that. So maybe, Alhamdulillah, you can now read in English, so then pretty much explain, so now you can read the fourth.
Yes. How you reach the intermediate stage
so
after death.
When we read, please, no, if anything that doesn't make sense or need more explanations, raise your hand, so then I will try my best to explain.
As the consciousness leaves from that spot, as just explained, you die and reach the intermediate state immediately.
That spot means where all the energy begins, where all the energy is going to be dissolved. It's the center of the heart. Means between two bodhicitta. Two bodhicitta means red bodhicitta, white bodhicitta. According to Vajrayana teachings, that's what they call. They don't call red or white. They call two bodhicitta. That's what it is. Red and white. Red. From mother, from white, from the father, or just two drops. Go home. Isn't it? Yeah.
Just as one arm of a balancing scale tips up when the other arm tips down. As to its causes, the intermediate state is contingent upon one.
If it needs any explanation, please just shout. Shout, not really, really shout, but I'm not sure how to say. Say something, okay?
Having become attached to your body and being filled with delight in your previous worldly activities, and two, karma, whether virtuous or non-virtuous. Furthermore, the being of the intermediate state possesses a complete set of sensory faculties, such as eyes, as well as the form of the body it will have in the realm into which it will be reborn. Until it takes rebirth, its vision is unimpeded, like divine vision, a type of super knowledge, and its body as well is unimpeded as though it had miraculous powers. The treasury of knowledge.
This is from chapter number 3. No, from this book, so chapter number 3.
It has the form which it will have in the prior time, which is the time prior to death in the next life, beginning with the moment of birth in the next life. Others of the same type, or those with pure divine vision, see it. It has miraculous karmic power and all sensory faculties. It is unimpeded. It does not change. It feeds on odors. Vasubandhu means that
So this one here, mido dene tisavos, it feeds on
odors.
No talking about perfume. No perfume. So smell. Because tisav means smell eater. Because they have to eat something. They rely on smell. So what is odor?
Smells.
Wonder why there's two words, smell and odor. Is there any reason why there's two words? So this is mainly refers to Christian food, smell of food, not just perfume. No perfume. Smell of food. So therefore, see, from time to time, people they ask, "Oh, Gisela, what we can do? What we should do? My relative passed away." In Tibetan tradition, in our traditions, when my mom passed away, my father took that very seriously. Not just my father, whole community, that's what they do. So sur, now some of you know sur practice here, the Rinpoche recommend to do sur. There are in our realm, there's many beings that we may not necessarily have contact with them. That means not see them. Doesn't mean they are not there. They are there, called tisa. Ti means smell. Sa means, how to say, eat.
Yeah, eaters.
Smell eater. So that's probably, translation, that's probably good translation. Smell eater, called tisa. So that's why sur. So you like, Tibet, I think here you don't have samba. Samba means roasted barley flour. Now you first roast the grain, so then you grind them, then it's ready to eat. Even though it's flour, but it's already cooked. What you need like in Tibet we use butter tea. Then butter tea, then top of that you put big chunk of butter. Tibetan people lost butter. So then you put some samba. So then some dry cheese, very dry cheese. And if you have some sugar, then you put there, then you mix. Then it's not much different between chocolate chip cookie from Whole Foods. It's pretty much the same. Does not look like cookie, but it is kind of tastes very good. So that's called samba, roasted barley flour. So the Tibetan people used to be Tibetan people's main dishes. Whenever they travel, long distance, very easy. They don't need all kind of food here. So that's whatever you call this. The samba is energy bar. Everything there. It's easy to carry because it's dry, So you put there some butter there, mix there. What you need, you just need some boiled water, that's all. Then you put it there. Then when you eat, it can expand whole day. You are not going to get hungry, samba. So then you get the samba. So then you put, when you mix in that samba, you mix butter, milk, yogurt. This is called three white food. Okay, three white food. This is all for sake of knowledge. In the down the road, if somebody asks you, then you can explain. Three white food, yogurt, butter, milk, garsum, sugar, honey, then what you call brown sugar. No, that's different because like one is solid. No sugar, here brown sugar is all same, only color, the one that looks like black, one that looks like white. Their brown sugar is a solid one, solid one. Huh? Joguri?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you go to some like oriental store, you can see. See, like when I was should I tell you one story? Yeah. When I was little monks back in the monastery, so the way we practice our writing, we don't have book. We don't have book. What we have? We have like piece of lumber, wood. All different sizes, piece of wood. See, like this. Surface is very smooth, very smooth. You clean, and then the surface is kind of like you put like here you don't see, you know, there when you cook underneath the cooking pot, there's like layers of like dark they're created by fire. Huh? Soot. Yeah. You grab that, you know, handful of that, then you put in on there, you put on the surface, you know, then it becomes dark. So then you put it there, then you dry them outside the sun, you dry them there. So when you dry, then you have like put some ashes to make it a little bit like white, some ashes. So then you have this piece of small bag like this, the both end inside just ashes, or some kind of, here you don't see, there you know, sometimes there's like white thing that you put on the wall. Here you don't see, chalk.
When you write on blackboard, dust.
Yeah, okay, dust chalk. You put it there in the one small bag. You tie them both ends, and between there, there's one string. So the one string, that both end of the string, there's something, make sure it doesn't go through, you know. So you have that. So when you go like this, it becomes kind of a little powder. Then you can, you know, smooth them. Then you pull this string. That's how you make line.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So then you make line, you know, line, just like line, then you write, you know. So there's no ink. The ink that you made, you like sometimes corn, you roasted corn till it gets very dark, then the dark, or could be rice or corn, you burn them in the pot. When it burns, then you pour some water, that's the ink that you use. So then what you call this, the solid sugar you mix there, make it more thick, then put the, so now that ink is sweet, see. So now that finished, now monastery you don't see that, no, it's all gone, there's no more that thing that went out there, no. So then you write there. So then the corner of the board, there you make small hole, then where you put the ink. So sweet. So then you go like this. You eat, basically. It will taste so good in the small bottles, then you just go like this. You can see, you know, all like kids, you know, hair like, hair. You know. Teacher was wondering, how come the ink is finishing quite soon, you know? When they feel 2 days gone, not because writing is going here. It's not going in the book. So then they put salt. So then it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste sweet. It tastes all kind of, not taste good. That's called salt. So that brings vivid memory. So and then that brings it to eat. Because there's not much sweet to eat. That's the only sweet that you eat. So then when you write, then you show teachers, then they correct, then after they just wash them, all them out, wash. So now I think this is really ego-friendly technique. You know, people, nobody talks about environment, but that's very ego-friendly. You just wash them, then dry them again, then you do like the same. Wash them, you know, there's no waste. It's there, you know, this is there. So when you finish, you pass down some other monks they can use. Goes on and on and on. So now that tradition is completely gone, you know, finished. The pen is made out of bamboo. So then you learn, you know, how to shape, make shapes and different shapes, cuts. So you use teaser with cut. You go with teaser. All kinds of bamboo, dry bamboo, fresh bamboo, they mix. You know, so they cut. So then eventually you learn how to do that cut. You know, so then how all the writing's been practiced and done like that. So anyway, custom three white, yogurt, milk, butter, sugar, honey, brown sugar, all of that. Then you mix them. Then you bless them, you know, through some rituals. Then you have this, you know. So then every night, then you burn them outside to benefit the deceit person, to benefit. People in my village, they take them very seriously. Every morning, they wake up, they fill with the water, this piece of branch, then you dip there, then you say, oh, my, oh, my, oh, then you burn that, you know, a little bit, because all the bless. Then the evening, same, you burn that, you know. So people take that very seriously. Oh, reason behind, because between pardo, what they eat smell, that's all they eat, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's why Rinpoche is not doing this. That's why Rinpoche recommended to sort of practice. But Gishe Sambo hometown, people there do as a group. They, you know, have spots, place where the group of people go, they rotate, they do that there. My monastery, big monastery, they are so much focused on study. So these little things, they don't do. They don't do, you know, like those things they don't do. In the village, this is what they do in the particular lay community, you know. Sake of knowledge, okay? So this, then that's how the sur substance is being made. That's how the sur substance, then you burn them there, you know. Mm. Because now, see, because this pardo is in the middle state, is called simile eater, that's why. Mm. No, just that, then there's many, it's going to be a form of charity to the spirit, charity to the spirit, or form of general practice of generosity.
Basubandhu means that the being of the intermediate state can be seen by beings there who are of its own type, and by persons who have used meditation to attain the impeccable divine vision.
Mm-hmm.
He also claims that once you reach the intermediate state for
the pardo, you know, like the human pardo, that like seen by higher beings, you know, animal pardo, but human can see animal pardo, but human pardo cannot see human pardo. Human cannot see human pardo, but other higher being can see human pardo. It goes like up and up and up and like that, you know. So,
Let's see. He also claims that once you reach the intermediate state for a certain rebirth, you will not change to the intermediate form of any other rebirth. However, the compendium of knowledge holds that such changes do occur. As for the term prior time, the treasury of knowledge refers to four states. One, from death until taking birth is the intermediate state. Two,
so what is called the fourth? What is called?
The four states.
Sibashi, like Sibashi. Four states.
Four states. About the prior time?
Four states. Sibashi. I'm not sure what's the better translation. I have no English word to say for state, so I didn't follow this what it's called. I don't know. Sibashit,
ne? Two, the first moment of taking birth is the birth state. Three, from the second moment of life up to the last moment of death is the state of the prior time. And four, the last moment of death is a death state. The state of the prior time is prior.
Where's the pardo?
Where's the pardo?
Yeah, where's the intermediate state? How do you say?
They just say intermediate state.
Intermediate state, or there's one. So that's out of four, the intermediate state should be there. Is it there? Is it there, Lamala?
State of prior life. Yes, the first one. From death until taking birth is the intermediate state.
Okay, okay. And
then for the last moment of death is death state. The state of prior time is prior in relation to the death state in the next rebirth of the being of the intermediate state.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
First one should be intermediate state, first one.
Yes.
Well, how does this can
they say repeat? From death until taking birth is the intermediate state.
So because there's like between death and birth, the first one intermediate state. So when you take birth, death. That's the birth state.
From the second moment of life up to the last
moment. Second moment of birth. Second moment of birth or life, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Second moment of birth, isn't it?
Up to the last moment of death is the state of the prior time.
Oh, then there's a state of prior time. That's what it calls. That is what it calls. Can't get clear than that. That's name. The second moment of birth. And before death, that's what it's called, you know. So whatever you call, that's what it's called. Okay? Clear?
The state of the prior time is prior in relation to the death state and the next rebirth of the being of the intermediate state.
Oh, that's like explaining. That's explaining. It's making your head more complicated.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to explain. Pardo is going to be looks like the pardo in the middle state is going to be looks like. Whatever rebirth you are going to take, is going to look like that. It's not going to look like you, no? A lot of people think, oh, it's going to look like me. No, no, no. It's going to look like the rebirth you are going to take. That's what holds the explanation. Why? Because the term they use makes people confused. Oh, that's what ngun means before. People, they think birth before birth. So they think, okay, maybe like me, you know? This is not... Because the term, people get confused, the term needs to be explained. That's why this is the explanation of Can you repeat that before that? Can you repeat?
Okay.
So now if you... Should I explain? Are you confused?
Is the prior?
Yeah, what's called the word prior? What is called prior?
Prior.
What is called prior?
This prior time is referring to.
Said all the words prior time, then what?
Right. It's from the second moment of life up to the last moment of death is the state of the prior time.
State of the prior time. Okay, state of prior time. Because of that term, people get confused. Prior time, they thought, okay, like before death, that means birth, that means that's you, right?
So that's this incarnation we got right now. The prior time state.
The state of the prior time.
State of the prior time. The prior time, there's a term that gets people confused. Prior time, a lot of people think, oh, this is this.
Next.
So I also get conditioned now. So see, if you think about question, the 1 second, state of prior time, the prior time, that because of that word, people get confused. So that's why this is time explaining prior time refers to where, what, see? So go ahead, 1 second, 1 moment. Please hold on. Please hold on. Hold on, not 1 second, that's how you say, hold on, couple of minutes. Chiwe, keji, pamani, chizu, that's what Bhagavanta said. Tase, kewar lambe, tiji, chizu na tebe, kewar lambe, tiji, chizu na tebe, ngoro himbala. Chizu la tebe, ngoro himbala, tela tuwa chine, kewar ngame, liyusun, deva sanche. Chizu la tebe, chizu la, to kewar lambe, tiji, kewar lambe, tiji, kewar lambe, tiji, chizu la tebe, ngoro himbala che. So now see this prior time when the Lama Tsong was quoting the Pardo state, they were very before. When this Lama Tsong was quoting Vasubandhu text.
Yeah.
So that's important. You need to go back there so that root text. Because the term is in the root text. Root text,
Yeah.
What is it?
It has the form which it will have in the prior time, which is the time it prior to death. And
okay,
the
it is all in the root text. So that root text is describing Pardo in the medium state. That root text is describing in the medium state Pardo. Okay? Now see, this word is state of prior time is there. So that very then the Lama Tsong was quoting this explanation about intermediate state from the root text of Abhidharma Kosha. I'm going to see the Shabdachis. So that refers to Pardo. Pardo, so because of that state of prior times, a lot of people thought, okay, Pardo should be looks like, my Pardo should be looks like me. Because there's no prior time state, they think refers to this. Make sense? That's how the confusion, all this confusion occur. It's not this. State of prior time doesn't refer to this life. Because of that term, not just you, even the monastery people do get confused. That's why their explanation. Tase kewal lambe tiji chisil, nga chisil kewal lambe tiji chisil tibi ngoro ilas, ngoro chisil tibi ngoro kewal lambe tiji chisil ngoro ilas. Just go, maybe have better explanation. So are you losing your patience? No? Okay. Please check catnap. Then you go, Kinju ji kewa chima di chisi ji ngaro do Prior time refers to see the rebirth, that you are going to about take rebirth, you are about to take rebirth, rebirth the part is about to take, right? Rebirth. Death birth, death of that birth, death of that birth. The prior time to death, not this body, death. Make sense?
Yeah.
Next death, or next death. No, not this death, next death. The prior time refers to next death. Before the next death. Do you understand? Yeah, anybody understand?
Yeah, I think I understand it.
Now, can you read? You understand? Can you read?
I can understand it when I'm reading it.
Oh, very good. So now that you have responsibility to explain in better English.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
So the reading.
Please don't fail.
Okay.
Just joking.
No, just joking. So the reading says the state of the prior time is, quote, prior, unquote, in relation to the death state in the next rebirth of the being of the intermediate state. So that, along with your explanation, gives me to understand that the prior time refers to the time after the first moment of birth up into the last moment of death, of the rebirth that I am going to take after I leave the bardo.
Mm.
And the reason it's confusing is because the word prior refers to something in the past.
No, that's not the past.
But it's actually defined as something in the future. But the word in English refers to something in the past, and that was why I was confused.
Yeah, the same in Tibetan. Munti, that also refers to past. That's why people get confused. Make sense? Now make sense?
Yeah,
that's a good question, the Christian. Oh, that's a good question, Christian. Why they write like that? So we need to call Vasubandhu. Do anybody have phone number? Vasubandhu phone number?
Good job, Kim.
So now, like, see, like, why Vasubandhu write like that? Is that better way to write?
You want to sound smart?
Well, it makes
sense.
Anyway, even the Tibetan word "nguntu" refers to past. So that's why people get confused. That's why they think, oh, my father is going to be like me. No. That's how they say, but father is going to be, looks like the rebirth you are going to take. That's your father is going to look like that, not like this. So people get confused because the prior, they think, okay, this life. They think, okay, there's no. The very word they're describing, father. Then the text. Is it clear now?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. That's a good question too.
Why someone even know about this?
It is not critical for practitioners. It is important to know. It's important to know. And also, I don't know why it's important to know. So another question is, sometimes, you know, question can be answered by questions. So then, why is it not important to know? Why is it not important to know? What do you think? Because it's going to happen anyway. Why we should know?
Well, I don't think it's important to know because it's nothing that you can control.
if I know about my karma and I can affect my karma, purify my karma, and that's something that I can do something about.
Right, right.
But this thing, I cannot do anything about it, and this knowledge is not going to help me.
But Geshe-la, I think what I'm hearing is it is important to know for a practitioner, because you talked about karma, virtuous, because if you have virtuous lifestyle, then it's telling you what kind of light you will see, what you are able to get to next life. So people who are practicing, they need to know what behavior is going to result into next life. So your practice today makes a difference in what kind of bardo and next life you will get.
Details. Details.
It's like a science. If you want to know meiosis, you got to know atoms, and you got to know nucleus, and you got to know all the details.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So just go. So.
Believe it or not, as soon as I read the prior thing, I understood it, which is unbelievable. However. What stage of life would you be at? A baby? A teen? When you're in the bardo and you're in your prior life.
It looks like a child. It looks like a child. It's not going to be like grown up. It looks going to be looks like child.
Okay.
Bardo is going to be looks like child. Hmm?
All right, thank you.
Hmm? It's not like just like looks but different colors, you know, different colors. Define different rebirth according to the rebirth. Mm-hmm. Based on that, you know, different colors, different way of walking, moving around, different way of moving around, different colors. But it's like child.
Okay.
Young like child.
Would it be that it's important to know, because sometimes when we die, we don't realize we died, and that we haven't moved on to the bardo. We don't realize that
we don't realize we are dying.
I mean, some people may have like a car crash, and it'd be so sudden that, you know, maybe they don't realize they died.
Are they alive?
No, that they're dead.
They don't know
they're dead. Their
consciousness may not know.
How do you know?
I don't know.
You say you don't know. I do it. So you are the one who bring it up. How come that you don't know?
So if we are in the bardo and I'm going to think that happy that I'm a gold baby, I'm going to be reborn. Does this mean... Can you practice in the bardo, right? Because it says maybe it's a warning. Like if I am a smoke colored baby, I go, I'm going to be an animal. Maybe I can practice right now in the bardo. is that part of it? Knowing ahead of time
could be, you know, like that's very good. You know, sometimes people some reason they are not able. They are very close to get enlightenment, very close to liberate themselves. Somehow they could not liberate while they're alive, so they could liberate in the bardo.
Really?
They could liberate in the bardo. So because something happened, something maybe, you know, they're while they're alive, they're so close they could not liberate themselves, and there's another chance in the bardo, they liberate. You know, they liberate themselves.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You said talking about the body of light, that's the baby is in a body of light. Is that what you were talking about? And then you said something about you just think of it and you go there. Are you talking about, this was earlier on when you were talking about the 49 days, and you're going to usually take a rebirth in 4 weeks, week four?
Or more likely within the first 4 weeks, week number four.
Yeah.
Out of seven, week number four, more likely take rebirth. If not, then there will be 3 more weeks.
So what was this saying about you just think about it and you go there? Are you talking about sometimes you may jump into a rebirth too soon or not take the right one if you're not careful, or what?
This is not very much determined by how you die, what kind of mindset you die. When you're dying, what kind of mindset? If you're dying with positive mindset, no, then you're probably going to take higher rebirth.
So that can offset the life that you've had? I mean, the moment of death can... Mm-hmm. Even more important than what you mean,
you can like redeem yourself at the moment of death then and get a better rebirth.
Very, very possible, you know, like, yeah, so redeem is purify.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No?
Yeah.
Purify, clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Because one of the Indian saints was saying she would want Amaji, she would want people to think about her or, you know, God when they're dying. And so
yeah, exactly. That's very possible to redeem, like, or maybe confession, purifying, all that in the last minute. So that's matter. That's why I'm saying this very, very important to help people to have right mindset, you know, think something positive. So that determines, you know, that's critical, you know. Make sense? Yeah, that's kind of critical, you know, calm mind, people thinking something good, something positive, that's critical. So, if you are thinking on a daily basis, you know, if you are thinking means, if you are doing some practice, you know, doing the, while you are alive, because, you know, that's how people become familiar, you know, you know, so familiarities. Then the last minute, you only need a small hint, you just say one word, the consciousness will follow. No need to do much, you know, just consciousness will follow. So most case does not remind at all, you know, So that's why in Tibetan traditions, you know, particularly in monastery, when someone die, they traditionally do in front of the body, because, you know, unless the body is completely exhausted by sicknesses, you know, all the energy been exhausted by sicknesses, then more likely consciousness will not remain there 3 days. Other than that, you know, consciousness will remain there 3 days. That's why Tibetan people keep the body at least 3 days, you know, in their home. But here in the development country, it's more complicated. But there, you know, not much law, so people can keep.
But people who die here and they put them in a little box, freezer box,
in the morgue, and they cremate them
immediately. So what happens?
So that's, you know, now. Let's see what happens. So now. It gets kind of complicated. So, yeah. So, because it's all the as a this is what is said in the text. Keep the consciousness will remain there in the body at least 3 days. You know. So, I don't think. I think that really, if you really look from the Buddhist point of view, it's not that doesn't much matter. I don't think, you know. Sometimes. So people worry about the body, you know, like minute you die, the consciousness in this body is comically disconnected. Mm-hmm. Even though your own consciousness come back, it will come back, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though consciousness see your body there laying down the bed, their consciousness will not remember who their body is, because it's comically disconnected. So if that's the case, you know, so then people take, you know, sometimes people take, especially in the remote parts, they take that very seriously. So Then when you read about Milarepa, you know, so doesn't seem like that much matters, you know? So there's sometimes people really, you know, focus on that part and kind of forget, you know, bigger pictures. Make sense? You know? Best if you can keep that. If you cannot keep, what do you do? You know?
So Geshe, will I know that I am in the bardo when I am in the bardo?
Yeah, that's why there's many practices. See.
Or will I be...
First of all, if you remember that you are dreaming, so that's hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do, they train themselves. They train, or during the daytime, they say, okay, oh, this is a dream, you know, this is a dream. Doesn't mean it's not real, you know. So it sounds like it's crazy, but you know, from emptiness. So that's why, okay, this dream. More likely you will remember that you are dreaming. If that's the case, then that will have impact in the Pardo state. Yeah, you will remember that you are in the Pardo. No, you are in the Pardo.
But
so
if
you will remember that you are dreaming, then people do things, you know, you remember that you are dreaming, then people do all kind of practice in the dream. That's called whole dream yoga is about. Dream yoga is about. If you don't remember your dream, there will be no dream yoga. Dream yoga only... Dream practice or dream yoga only happen if you recognize that you are dreaming. Because that supposed to help you to remember that when you are in the Pardo state, help you to remember that you are in the Pardo, that you are not going to get confused.
But if I have not trained in dream yoga, is it likely that I will not realize that I'm in the Pardo state?
No, dream yoga means it's not that difficult. Dream yoga is not like that difficult. It sounds kind of high level of practice, not that difficult. Just think, oh, now this is a dream, it's not really a dream. You know? Then see if you remember, if that helps you to remember your dream.
Mm.
Mm. So this remembering, so then that will, you know, because I say, you will not just remember part of automatic dream, nothing. You know, so we are not going to remember. That is required some practice to remember part of. It's not going to just simple. I wish I could remember my Pardo. So that's not going to happen. No, there's some kind of practice. You need to train to remember your dream. You need to train, remember your Pardo, you know. So when you remember your Pardo, so that you know, you know. So that's another thing, according to your questions, you know. See, in Pardo, so many things happen. Most of them, that intermediate state is hallucinated. It's not really happening. It's just see all kinds of things, you know. But it's not really there. So when you remember, Pardo, so then you know, oh, these are all, I know this is what's going to happen. It's not real. So then there's no, you can prevent yourself from all kind of fears, things like that. Huh? So see, in the Pardo, yeah, people do get confused. There's some part that you don't know that you are dead. You still believe that you are alive. But actually, you are dead, you know. So take some time to figure it out. So, so the liberating in the Pardo state, you have to remember what is happening in the Pardo. So there's particular practice that helps you to remember that you are in the Pardo. So how? See, oh, this is not Pardo. It's not really happening, it's Pardo. So that's how. I'm not just making this up, you know. So to remember dream, you during the daytime, you have to think, oh, this is a dream, and then see if that helps you to remember your dream. If that helps, oh, this is like Pardo, that will definitely help to remember your Pardo. See, same technique.
Does it help that we now know it exists, other people don't? Just from learning? A lot of people don't know there's a Pardo.
Oh, yeah, right.
We do some studying.
Of course, yeah, that really helps, yeah. Yeah, if you don't know about Pardo, so then people do nothing for Pardo. No preparation for Pardo. Yeah. Oh, so now time to stop. It's like, almost 16 minutes, the last question, so then we'll stop.
All right, so... My question is, if you reach liberation and become enlightened in this life, and then what state do we go to after we die? Is it going to be Pardo?
Yeah, there will be Pardo. Pardo, regardless where you liberate, not liberate, there will be Pardo, but no, it's going to be okay. Different. No, like right. This transition. That's a good question.
What form do we take in the Pardo?
If you liberate, if you're enlightened, there will be no Pardo. There will be no Pardo.
That's why I said to you, because there should not be any rebirth.
Because there will be no death. There will be no death. If you liberate it, there will be no death. If you enlighten, there will be no death. Some people may see that you are dying, but actually that's just what we see, but it's not, that's what's happening. Oh? So there will be no death, no Pardo. No death, no Pardo. Oh? No birth, no rebirth.
Then what would it be? Like, what form do we take after?
You don't take any form at all. You don't take any form.
You just become a consciousness in the universe.
You have form. You have form. So what kind of form? Oh, that's a very good question. Dr. Brown, please say something. Say, Dr. Brown, say something. What kind of form when you get enlightened next year? What kind of form?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was the question?
When you liberate it, when you're going to enlighten, what kind of form that you're going to have?
They say that wherever the Buddha's mind is, the form is with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And their Buddha's mind pervades the universe, so everywhere there's Buddha consciousness is a Buddha form. And if you get enlightened, I think it could be in any form. It could take whatever form is going to be beneficial to sentient beings. But if you use a tantric deity like Haruka or something like that, I don't think you would always manifest as Haruka as an enlightened being. You'd be manifest as Tara or a bridge or a breeze or medicine or any whatever form you need to be to benefit beings.
See, Dr. Brown, understanding of Buddha Dharma is very good. Dr. Brown, see, that's the answer. Any form you can take based on the need for the sentient beings. Sentient beings, you appear as a bridge, you appear as a, how is it, anything, you know. So see, like Bodhisattva Siddhigarbha. Bodhisattva Siddhigarbha, that's one of Bodhisattva called Siddhigarbha. Somebody is, you know, in maybe it's now time is way over, so anyway that Bodhisattva Siddhigarbha is living in the peak community, herd of peak. From our eye, what you can do? You can't teach peak. Even just one word on Manipimeo, you get that peak, I'm not going to say on Manipimeo. So in our mind, what you can do, why you manifest the peak? No, so we don't know how the enlightened being benefit. So there's no Bodhisattva or Siddhigarbha living as a peak, with the group of peak. There's Bodhisattva, you know, manifest as a peak. I'm not sure what do you think? Maybe teaching them something, so see, you never know. So any form, that's the answer. After you enlighten, not like liberated, but after when you enlighten, you can manifest any form that not you want, any form the sentient beings need, you can manifest as a bridge, all kind of form. Okay? There's no one particular form. Yeah, okay, so now we'll stop here. Almost now 9 o'clock probably.
Kita semua jemaat tu senjata melanda wajah nada jendela tu semua nampak 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 n
Thank you very much. Good discussion. Thank you very much.